Welcome to Steppin' Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms not only within the system, but within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon.
Hi, everybody. My name's Sue Supriano, and I'm happy today to be speaking with Claudia Morcom, the Honorable Claudia Morcom. Claudia Morcom is a retired judge from Wayne County, Michigan, the Circuit Court, and she's here in the San Francisco Bay Area attending a conference about race and racism, which we're going to hear something about, and has had a full life doing lots of things. I see here on this invitation that you were a part of a delegation to the UN World Conference Against Racism. You're from the National Conference of Black Lawyers. You work with the Micklejohn Civil Liberties Institute. You're a leader of the National Lawyers Guild Committee to assist Southern lawyers in Mississippi back in 1964-65. So that was a long time ago. And I'm sure you've been busy since then, and you're saying that you're soon to go off to the Middle East to meet with Arab lawyers there. So we have a lot to talk about, and you were just telling me that you have a jazz show in Michigan where you're called the Reverend Dr. Judge. So that's you must have a well-rounded life. You have a lot of fun doing radio.
Yes. As a matter of fact, when I was in college, I had a radio show with another young woman, and it was a 10-minute, 15-minute segment where we did the news and the sports reviews and the weather and that. But the jazz show that I've got now is a 2-hour show on Saturday mornings, and it's called Hastings Street Jazz, named after a very famous street in Detroit, which was at the time before integration, where all the black businesses were and the one hotel that we had and all of the nightclubs, restaurants, everything were there. The Gordys had their, you know, record shop, and I think they had cleaners at the time. I was just a baby, but my dad had a patent medicine store on Hastings along with his father. So it's named after that, and what we primarily do is play the classic jazz, the jazz from the days of the 50s, 60s, and on, and Miles Davis, John Coltrane, Sarah Vaughan, all the great jazz artists, mm-hmm. and I'm loving it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. You are here to speak about something a lot more heavy duty, and so it must be, I know it's good to have a jazz show, and music is so important. You're here to be speaking about the effects on civil liberties post 9/11. And so I think that we'll just jump into that subject because it's so crucial. I mean, there's been so many changes, and so I'd like, if you would, Claudia Morcom, talk about that a little bit, and also about your trip to your upcoming trip to the Middle East. It sounds like you're very involved in trying to make some changes.
Well, I am here as part of the organization. I'm really with the Micklejohn Civil Liberties Library and Institute because they were one of the groups that I went to Durban, South Africa with. And I was the lead delegate for them, and there were 12 of us on that delegation. And then I was also a part of the International Association of Democratic Lawyers, which is an organization primarily of European lawyers and Middle Eastern lawyers, and of course those from the United States. But the week that we're here now, and it's been going on and since Tuesday of this week, is part of the Committees of Concern for Democratic and Social Justice. Their carrying on what the theme of the South African concert was, concert, listen to me, I got music on my mind, South African four or five day workshop, all about global racism, and the panels have been just fantastic. Angela Davis, Charlene Mitchell, Manning Marable, many, many others, and delegations and representatives from South Africa, from Palestine, from Cuba, from all over the world, talking about what is going on. Mm-hmm. That will continue through Sunday, which is tomorrow. I can't keep my days straight mm-hmm. since I've been here. But I am going to be speaking this evening with the group as a fundraiser for the Micklejohn Civil Liberties Institute. Let me just say a little bit about them. They have collected all of the cases and files over the last 30 years, human rights, civil rights cases, which they just gave to the University of California. All of those trials and cases are going to be on the Internet, and that you can pick them up on the Internet. And the reason that's important is because many of these cases only went to the trial level. They're not documented anywhere else in the Supreme Court journals or anything like that because they weren't appealed. But these were cases that were won and lost at the trial level. So a lot of lawyers who are civil libertarians who also represent activists in the civil rights movement and the peace movement will be interested and concerned about that. Mm-hmm. On the issue of the loss of civil liberty since 9/11, some of the people at the conference who lived through the McCarthy period said this was the most frightening period that we are going through now. And that's primarily because the Bush administration has gotten pushed through the Congress, what they call the U.S. Patriots Act. As a lawyer, we're very concerned about the fact that the writ of habeas corpus has been suspended in that. That people can be picked up without any court order, kept, detained, not charged with any crime. And many Middle Eastern people have been and are in custody at this time in the United States. The Bush administration also has come out with an executive order that allows the FBI to do domestic spying on the people in the United States, the citizenry. They can do wiretapping. They don't have to go to court and get an order to do that. They can check. Now, I'm not a computer person, so I may not be saying all of this right, but they can pick up information from you and about you on the Internet. They also can get your medical records as well as your college records, and all of this without having any kind of subpoena or a court order to do so. And that's rather frightening since the FBI and the CIA now are doing domestic surveillance instead of international relations surveillance, which the Congress thought they were giving them authority to do that.
And not only that, now they're trying to find other people who don't work for the FBI, don't work for any agency, just people to spy on their families and other people, right? The TIPS program?
The TIPS program, which is also very, very frightening. But I understand that the U.S. Postal Service said that they will not agree to do that. It's one thing to have a government agency do that, and another thing to have your neighbors spying on you. And people that you come in contact with every day, people who come in to the, you know, do the electric repairs or read the water meters, things like that. And we were all very pleased that the Postal Department says that they will not consider doing that.
Yeah, really. Well, I guess it's going to make a big difference how much people stand up, and you attorneys are so very important. What's happening in Michigan, in the Detroit area where you are, and what kinds of things do you hear people really enraged? And I just live in this bubble of Berkeley, so I'm really curious about what's going on, especially for you, because you, Judge Markham, are so involved in and so much already.
Well, I'm working right now with the State Bar of Michigan Open Justice Commission, which is part of the access to justice, so that people, regardless of their race, sexual orientation, ethnic, you know, religious background, can come into the courts and to the system and hopefully get some form of justice. But now with the Patriots Act, there has not been much discussion about that among our people on our committees, because what we were concerned with was the state apparatus and the judicial apparatus being open for people to come in into the court system. What has happened in New York, there is an attorney named Lynn Stewart who was representing some Middle Eastern people, and what the Justice Department did under Ashcroft's authority is that they videotaped and audiotaped her interview with her clients. Well, that has never been done before in terms of interfering with the client attorney-client relationship. It makes us think that maybe there's going to be something with the priest-penitent and the doctor-patient relationship. But what it is, it's an attempt to scare lawyers from... Well, she's been indicted for assisting the terrorists.
I interviewed her. You can hear her on another show here.
Oh, you did? Yeah, she's fantastic. I saw her on a panel that came out of New York back in April. And it is a form of intimidation of attorneys so that they will not be representing these people. So much of this is being done in secrecy now. The Immigration and Naturalization Services have a secret court where neither the attorneys or the family or anyone can go in and either represent or hear what is going on with these detainees. And it is something that is more frightening than the period of McCarthyism. People don't know what they're charged with, who their accusers are, and none of the constitutional safeguards are being recognized and being followed.
Yeah, it's really intense, and that's why I was wondering if people understood, if you're in your impression that most people, I guess, activist lawyers certainly understand, but what even the general population has much sense of how serious this is, and do you think that there is any... these are two different questions, really, but if there is much hope when these kinds of arbitrary, unconstitutional orders, basically, are coming down from on high.
Well, I think that the people in the United States have not been given the true truth about what is going on in the country. For example... Shortly after 9/11, the television stations all were interviewing people, you know, and they were exclaiming, and it is true how horrible this whole situation was with the Terrorist Act. They also had a panel of children, and one of the little girls, who was about 7 years old, said, "Why do they hate us so much?" Nobody answered that question. One young lady who was maybe 12 or 13 and obviously from the Middle East tried to, but she wouldn't go. She said, "Well, maybe it's something that we have done to them." People are not aware that the United States has been bombing Iraq, that we ruined their water supply, that we have an embargo on the chemicals that are necessary to chlorinate water, and that hundreds and thousands of people in Iraq have been dying over the last 10 years, especially children who are so vulnerable to dysentery and all of the diseases, E. coli, and the fact that they don't have proper sanitation in Iraq now, and that the water supply is not getting to them. The United States is not letting them either get water from other countries or the chemicals necessary to purify water. People don't know that. The case of Samantha Runyon here in California, you know, the American people, the public in the United States, are a very sympathetic, how can I say? We love our children, and if they knew what was happening to the children in Iraq, I think there would be a greater outburst and writing and calling the people in Washington, telling them this is not what we want from the public. We don't want another war. And when President Bush went to West Point and made his speech there that the axis of evil and all of the countries, that he would have a right to take first strike. He listed 50 to 60 countries that he said that he would have a right to have first strike, wouldn't have to confer with Congress. He listed so many of the people that we have been bombing already, but also included in there, not just Iraq, but Cuba, Libya, which we bombed some years ago.
We bombed 40 countries, I think, 40 countries in the last 40 years or something, some huge number. The United States is always bombing countries.
I know. And we are a warmongering country. But I do not think that the people of the United States go along with that. And what I am suggesting to the lawyers and the organizations that the church groups, the non-governmental organizations, all the peace groups, the human rights and civil rights groups, we've got to come together in some unified attempt to let not only the people know about what's going on, but to counter all of this mentality that's a war mentality. Everything, newspapers, the television, and everything coming out of the Justice Department is we're at war, which is going to give the executive, you know, all of this power that was written up in the USA Patriots Act. The people don't want war, and we don't want innocent civilians, children, workers killed as a result of what the United States is trying to do in terms of the big oil supplies in these other countries. And you and I both know, Sue, because I know you're an activist too, that the transnational corporations in this attempt to globalize the businesses, the oil thing, are all about what is going on in Colombia. You know, the United States has sent advisors down to Colombia, but they also have a military force there, as well as in the Philippines. Well, these countries are very rich in oil, and that is what the big oil dealers in the United States are trying to get on the pretext of war and terrorists being harbored there.
Right. So, Judge Morcom, what is it you said that you're going on a trip to the Middle East to meet with Arab lawyers and international group. Tell me more about that, if you would.
Well, I can only tell you a limited amount about that because I received an invitation from the International Association of Democratic Lawyers, which had received an invitation from the Arabic Lawyers Committee in from Palestine.
I just want to say that democratic lawyers, that word democratic gets thrown around to mean so many different things. I wondered if you'd tell me a little bit more about that organization.
It's not...
Or what they mean by democratic.
It's not capitalist. What they mean by the democratic lawyers are lawyers who believe in egalitarian workers, the people benefiting from the fruits of their labor. And it's not the democratic U.S. capitalist democratic. And there are many countries in Europe that are democratic. People have the right to vote. And they have many, many parties, not just a two-party system as we do. And the invitation was to a group of those of us who belong to that organization to come first to Cairo, where we will meet with the lawyers from Palestine to see if we can come up with some solutions, legal solutions to the detainees. I think there are 7,000 Palestinians that are being detained in Israel, and to see if there's some legal way by using the UN Charter, the Declaration of Human Rights, many of the treaties that the United States is signatory to, as well as is Israel. And then we're going to Israel to talk to the attorneys there And on the agenda, I don't know if we'll be able to do that, is we also wanted to be able to talk to some of the Palestinian detainees if they will allow us to do that. So that's all I know at this point, because we're going to have an orientation session when we get to Cairo. We're leaving on the 3rd of August, and we'll get there on the 4th.
And are you going to talk about the detainees in Guantanamo or anything that the United States is doing? And I guess I'd like to refocus back now on what is going on in the United States, and the particularly the racism of what's going on. But I don't want to put words in your mouth, although since you've been involved in so much to do with racism, I'm sure you have something to say about it, Claudia Morcom.
Well, one of the things that we were talking about, yes, we will be talking a little bit about the detainees at Guantanamo as well as those that are in New York and the New Jersey courts.
That's several thousand people, right?
Yes, it is. And actually, we don't know how many, because they're being held incommunicado. Their families don't know where they are or who is there. Also, they have not been able to have lawyers represent them or to talk to them. The court that they have there, the International Court, Secret Court, is held in secrecy. As I said, no lawyers are there.
Where are we talking about?
It's in Washington, at the Justice Department.
Uh-huh. Secret court in Washington. This is creepy stuff, folks. This is very creepy. I mean, this is serious. What do we call it?
A violation of our civil rights and human rights and contrary to our Constitution and Bill of Rights. We'll see, by talking war all the time, we are at war against the terrorists, it's making it easier for Bush and Ashcroft to say we must suspend the civil liberties and we must, in order for our people to be secure. But you see, and they even did a poll where they said that 60% of the people polled said that they were willing to give up some of their civil rights and civil liberties for security's sake. But people weren't told what the giving up of all those rights mm-hmm. would be. They thought, well, inconvenience at the airport, having time, going through security and things like that. They weren't told that they could be, their homes could be entered without having a warrant, that it's called the sneak and peek, that they would go in. They don't have to tell the people they're going in. They can go through your personal possessions, and they don't have to tell you, and they don't have to have a court order or a warrant. Now, all of this is very frightening. You hit it right on the nose. And the people that were at our conference today were saying, you know, it was worse than the times of McCarthyism. So people have to organize and be told what is going on in their country at this time. You know, I worked down in Mississippi for a year back in the 60s, and at that time we called that our apartheid, our state that was the apartheid, similar to South Africa. Well, after South Africa had the transition from apartheid to government with Nelson Mandela and all, and without revolution, which is quite interesting and very, very unusual, Bishop Tutu has written a letter to the Israeli people, Israeli government, saying that what they're doing to the Palestinians at this point is a form of apartheid, and that a people who had been subjected to such horrendous acts during the Holocaust should understand that by depriving the Palestinians of their land, their homes, their shooting and killing of civilian women, children, men. I hate to put men last because it's humanity, and anyone who is a civilian and not in the military should not be subjected to the kinds of things that are going on over in the Middle East now with Israel.
Yeah, well, we've got there's so many things going on. There's Israel and the United States, and the United States, so much of our tax money is used for these things, whether they're in the United States or in Israel. So that's something they have in common. So is there a targeting of people in a racist way much going around where you live in Michigan?
Yes, we've had not only people picked up who were Middle Eastern, but we have had people who were not Middle Eastern who may have looked like it, wearing the sheikhs, wearing the turbans and all. And unfortunately, because of what is coming out of the Pentagon, out of the White House, out of the Justice Department, people are being riled up. We had a meeting of the Civil Rights Commission in Michigan. One of the members of the Civil Rights Commission made a statement, Peter Karamas, I believe his name is. He stated that he was sure that we would have interning of the Arabs like we did at the Japanese if there was ever any other kind of terrorist act like happened in New York. And he said, because the American people are going to demand it. Well, that's only because the American people are not being told what terrorist acts we are committing in other countries and all over the world.
Well, not only that, I'll put in my own two cents. It's really not clear what happened 9/11, but we won't get off on that. But that's why it's important to do a lot of investigation about that matter and get some clarity about it, because racist targeting is never okay, and losing our civil rights is never okay. And I say our because it moves along. You know, I'm sure you have something to say about that.
Well, what I have to say about that is I'm very disturbed because I have talked to some black people who have said to me, yeah, they ought to pick up all those Arabs. And these are people that should understand that this goes on in our community all the time still. Even though John Conyers got the act passed, and at the time that Senator Ashcroft was very much involved, he was a senator at that time before he became with the Justice Department. He's the one that got made a very broad statement for him to say that this was not the American way and that this was unconstitutional to racially profile people, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm hoping that there will be more information coming out through the different organizations that we're working with so people will understand what is going on in this country. And all of the money that is being spent on the military and ballistics, the missiles and all of that, is taking away from the programs, domestic programs. They've cut programs where children benefited. They're using the Social Security surplus. I mean, everything that the American people said they did not want done is being done, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, do you know, you've involved Judge Claudia Morcom with a bunch of organizations here. We don't have any web pages, but there is the Mikkeljohn Civil Liberties Institute is one place you can go for information. And the National Conference of Black Lawyers, is that another one?
Yes, I'm not as active with them as I am with the State Bar of Michigan, well, Mikkeljohn and the International Association of Democratic Lawyers. Mm-hmm. National Conference of Black Lawyers, of course, and the National Lawyers Guild are working together on all of these issues and representing all of the people that have been, that they can get to, that have been detained, that are allowed to have legal representation.
And we need to support those organizations so they can support us. So Art, I want to thank you very much, Judge Claudia Morcom, for this interview and wish you lots of good luck on this meeting in the Middle East with the International Democratic Lawyers.
I want to thank you, Sue, for allowing me to speak to your listeners, and it was a pleasure to really do so. I hope that maybe some grain of information came out that people can use.
Thanks so much. My name's Sue Supriano, and thank you for listening. Mm-hmm.